The message today has a couple meanings. We know that there is sin in this world. We see it around us all the time. But then we, who are called out of this world, we deal with sin ourselves. So the title of the split sermon is simply, Why Do We Sin? Why do we sin? There are several different ways that can lure us away, that can cause occurrences. We'll just go over a few. If I can, we can start off by turning over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I could not even turn the scripture this morning. I was trying, and I got dive bombed several times. So I just had to laugh. Anyhow, I was turning to Ephesians 5, which is why I'm reminded of it, and it took me over 5 minutes to do that. Ephesians 5, and we'll begin in verse 1, please. Ephesians 5, verse 1. The title here is Walk in Love. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But, in verse 3, but fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather given of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance into the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and God. So when you think about it, the world, we know that they live in sin. We see it. We see hatred. We see anger, which we'll go over these. It's everywhere. But what about us in the church? We have something coming up, a spring holy days that are starting. Our self-examination is here. So we have to be very, very cautious right now. Passover is such a special day to us. Coarse gesturing. Now that one, that means that your mind is already corrupt. You're already thinking horrid thoughts. Well, how do you think horrid thoughts? It means you've done something or polluted your mind already. It's already in there, and it comes from there to your mouth and out. So if you do have coarse gesturing, that means that the filth is already in you. Again, Passover, we know that we plead with God to wipe out all of our sins, the ones we know that we're working on, to remove from our life, and also the ones we don't know. And then we pray that God will show us our sins, our faults, so we can move forward. Now, I'm on a couple church sites, the Kagwa single site, a mother site, a divorce site, where it's focused on people of faith. And again, a lot of these people are actually in the church. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I tell you the stories that I hear, people are under attack. I know that, and this leads into my first first point and into the second, but I went to a church picnic years ago, and there was a guy and a girl. The guy liked the girl didn't like the guy. Story of our lives, right? Anyhow, I talked to the guy, and I'm just saying, hi. And he told me, what he told me, I couldn't, I was like, what? He told me problems. This was a few years ago, so I was young and even more naive than I was now. Wow, he had a serious problem with a heavy addiction to watching things on the computer. I sat there like, what? You know, and then he liked this girl, and then later on I talked to the girl, and she's like, yeah, I know, he likes me, but I don't want anything to do with him, right? But I want to be in the church, I want to be nice. But the point was that this fella, who wasn't a baptized member of the church, but his father and mother were, and he was trying to get there, his mind was already completely saturated with things. And he was working towards getting out of it. But the first point is curiousness. And again, the focus is on why do we sin and how can we get off the path? Being curious. This kid was curious, and he took his curiosity to the internet. Here's a quote. Curiosity is a kernel of the forbidden fruit, which still sticketh in the throat of a natural man, sometimes to the danger of his choking. Thomas Fuller. We've all heard the other famous saying, one that I love explaining to my kids. Curiosity killed the cat. And they're like, Dad, but what does that mean? Well, think about it. Cats are, I think cats are dogs with autism. But the cats have these little quirks, and they always stick their nose in things. That's why they have nine lives. That's right. That's why they come up with the saying of, that's why they have nine lives. They're always just on the cusp of death because they're curious. They get into things. Now, also with curiosity in the internet is a phenomenal thing if used properly and a horrid thing if not. But the curiosity, my kids are very curious. 7, 8, 9, and 10. They're typing on the internet and innocently, you know, they're curious about animals or tulips or something. But you type in the wrong thing on the internet and the filters aren't locked down, things are exposed. And the thing about it is you'll spend a tremendous amount of time with telling them about what they just saw, which we haven't got there yet, but unfortunately just on the news, some of the goofy things on the news, my kids are like, what does that mean, Dad? Nothing. Go away. And they're too young for me to even explain it right now. So curiosity. The internet is probably the worst place for a curious mind. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 27, verse 20 states, just as death and destruction are never satisfied, so human desire is never satisfied. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures. You don't need to turn there. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. We want more. We're curious. We want to explore. I believe that curiosity leads to sin. Your eyes don't need to see certain things. Once it's seen, it's in your head. Once it's in your head, as the scriptures say, the seed has been planted. And once fully realized, fully mature, it leads to full sin, and sin leads to death. That's James 1:14. I got ahead of myself. James 1, verses 14 and 15. And instead, each person is tempted by his own desire, being lured, trapped by it. When the desire becomes pregnant, it gives birth to sin, and when sin grows up, it gives birth to death. So again, a lot of focus on, we need to focus on God and not be so curious of the things of this world. And one or two more scriptures on this point, and then we'll move on. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. You don't need to turn there. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, why do we sin? We know the path. We know the path we are to stay on. There are many things that pull us from the path. Right now, we have the Easter coming up. We have the spring where people do really strange things, cultures. And we have to be focused on God and stay meditating on God. And then the last one is 1 Peter 1:14. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be shaped by the desires and that used to influence you when you were ignorant. So borderlining on the point of being curious is the second one, which is bored. Being bored. Now, every parent has heard these words, "Dad, I'm bored." And every parent gives the same response, "Well, let's do some chores." And then every kid gives the same response, "No." But the borderline between curiosity and bored, there was a study done to support a law. The law is right now being proposed in Florida. And the law is called the Mental Health Law. And it is a law used to ban pornography or allow access for parents to just block all of it coming in, period. As of right now, it's freedom of speech, therefore you can't do that. But the law is in 5 other states. The law was enacted first in 2016 in Utah. Go figure, right? So it's called pornography is, quote unquote, a public risk. What they found is kids are bored and curious. So the overall levels of sexual activity amongst youth is decreasing. And you're like, great, right? Well, yeah, but they've turned their minds to the internet. And they have focused heavily on pornography, which is, as the article had stated and all the case studies, it has completely destroyed the human. It's destroyed the mind. You can't have a healthy relationship or intimacy with your spouse if your mind has been completely destroyed with what you've seen and what you've allowed into it. So that's the study. Now, of course, the number one lobbying group that say that this is false is supported by, created by, well, you know the industry. And they said that this study can't be held up in court. And actually, they pushed a lot of kids into the courtrooms to distract this law from going into place. And they wanted to focus on gun laws and gun restrictions instead. So they're like, public risk? Seriously? Pornography is not a public risk. Killing my kids in school with bump stock automatic AR-15s, that's a risk. So they destabilize the entire argument by focusing on guns instead of, another study, and it's not a study, it's a fact. When you go onto your internet, everything's documented, right? So the service providers report to the government certain basic high-level stuff. They know what state, who's searching for what. They just know it. And ironic enough, what state has the heaviest population of pornography? Utah. There was more searches focused on that in Utah than all the other states. Wow. So people are religious facade, and then they go home, and well, obviously the internet doesn't lie when it comes to that. The facts are the facts. But focusing from the curiosity point into the being bored point, being bored, this generation has problems. If I could ask you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, please. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ, and in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So the point being is that if you're bored, it means that, and this is a generalization, a heavy, never wanting to do anything, kind of just there. Well, that means that you're not on the path. You don't have that fire inside of you. and you have a threat of quenching the Holy Spirit, which is to be aroused inside of you, and it is to lead you and you to follow. Sometimes we follow willingly, other times God drags us. He wants to save us. He wants us to be citizens into his kingdom. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Last week in the message, the focus was staying on the path, the narrow path. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to be happy, to rejoice. But what gets in the way of us being happy and rejoicing? Well, it's like I'm giving a message in front of a mirror. What is it? It's the sin. It's the sin that we allow in our lives, the sin we put in our lives. You quench the Holy Spirit when you do that. So being bored could lead into that. And again, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God wants us not to just be stagnant. He wants us to rejoice, to live life, and to focus on him. Now, the third is anger. This one's a little more obvious, right? Because anger, no good can come from it. I know back in the old days, is every time, without fail. And this should be, I mean, after so many times, you should understand this. But you get so mad. Your project doesn't go the way you do it. You want it to go. And what do? You get mad. And you lose your temper. And maybe you throw something. And then what do? You break something else. You dent it. It's a slippery slope. And all of a sudden, after your little goofy tirade, your tantrum, you find yourself having to spend hours cleaning yourself up, cleaning it up. The other day, I broke a plate, got mad. And my pancakes I made for my kids didn't work out. And what happened? I threw the pancake away in a rage because it was doughy in the middle. I messed it up. The pancake batter went everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere, into the blinds and into the wall, the floor. Do you know how hard it is to scrape that off once it dries? I'm still not there. It takes forever. The plate broke. I don't know. There was a lot more other things. And Bennett said, and my son says, he looks at me and he's like, Dad, he's like, you know, when I do that, I get in trouble. And I was like, you're right, son. If you did that, I would spank your butt. This was really early in the morning too, you know. So I wasn't obviously fully awake. But I have a broken plate and my dishwasher, I slammed it shut and it caved in the little corner, so now it doesn't close properly. And now I'm going to have to spend Sunday working on it, all because of anger. And this is in my family blood. My grandpa was notorious for his, he gets so angry. You know, we're English, so that's what we do. We get angry. And he would throw his hammer, bust a window or something. He was a gentle man, very gentle, but man, when our tempers get up there, we just lose control. Anyhow, the example in the world, if I give you a worldly example, what do steroids cause? Steroids cause short temper, focus, high testosterone levels. There are three examples when you type in steroid use and anger, three examples right away of former bodybuilders that took too many steroids. Some of these were a time ago. In a fit of rage, one killed his fiancée. In a fit of rage, another one killed his family. And another one killed his wife. Another one got so angry at the cop, so angry at the gym that he started beating up stuff. They called the cops, and he got into a massive fight with the cops, all because he tripped on a running machine, which set off his whole entire temper. So the point being that anger does not lead to any godly characteristic. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you're angry, you are not thinking straight. And rest assured, you're not thinking godly thoughts if you're super angry. I've said this many a times. My little girl has the Incredible Hulk syndrome, where if you cross her wrong, she just goes into this like, roar. I see her bulking up, like, ripping off her shirt, roar, just like anger. Usually it's because my son just pokes at her. So, and you know, kids are kids, but I have to tell her, I'm like, don't do the Incredible Hulk, you know, especially bananas. My son will just like put a banana next to my girl and she goes crazy. She hates bananas. Her mom put a banana in her backpack without putting it into a casing. So she got to school and the backpack with the books on top of it smashed the banana into all over her backpack, her books. And so she smelled smashed bananas all day. And that's what caused her now to never ever want to touch a banana and gets angry at the smell of it. So, oh well. The next is pride, being proud. There's so many scriptures on this one. God hates hates pride above all. He despises pride. He can't work with someone that is proud. Their heart is not in the right place. Proverbs 16, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then in Mark 7, verse 22. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Adulterers, fornicators, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blaspheme, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. If you have pride in your heart, it is competing, it is pushing out good, and you cannot have that pride. Now, the next would be self-righteousness. Super religious and easy to pray. Have you ever noticed that of the world, when you look at the world, you see these people of extreme religious faith, so they proclaim. Those people that have that are usually the ones that can turn the easiest. They fall victim to cheating, to sex, to adult internet, and to pride. Those are the people that usually are the quickest to you know, they think they're close, but they're completely fooled. Some examples of that would be the Catholic priests. That one we all know very well. There's been widespread abuse for many, many years. And it can happen to other people. I mean, this is common knowledge now, right? But 5 years ago, Tiger Woods was upheld as a very good person. No one even thought. And then one clue, well, he cheated on his wife, who's a model. I don't get it. But anyhow, he cheated on her, and then all of a sudden you're like, nah, nah. All of a sudden, here comes a whole, like a lot of people came out and said, Oh, yeah. And so now his wife has the kid. I think he only has one kid. And is living a great life with Tiger Woods' money. And Tiger Woods can't win a tournament anymore. He has lost his complete edge. The next quick one is just accepting. Accepting. This is a tough one. Accepting, we have so many people that just accept whatever's provided. Yesterday, you know, I was talking to my office mate next. She's a really good person. She's got a lot going on. And, you know, the office mate said, something, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm like, you know, I don't understand Easter, you know, it's like, because, Santa Sana is coming up, and 2 weeks, Mexico gives off 2 weeks for that, and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, because that's a, you know, it's all false, it's a fake. I don't normally speak to people about that, because quite frankly, they never ask me, and they don't really care. And she just made a comment that we hear all the time, accepting. She's like, oh, well, any celebration of good is good to me. I'm like, I wanted to say something, but again, I just said, like, well, yeah, but the Bible says, you know, you are not allowed to turn something evil into something good. You need to stay away from it. And she's like, oh, okay. And then we changed the subject, and that was it. Completely hook, line, and sinker. Swallowed all of it. The whole world has. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. We were just there, Ephesians 5, but Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. You know, there was a person that I knew, I don't really associate with them anymore. They accepted everything. They just, you could see the path. It wasn't, they weren't called by God, I don't believe. They just were of the world. And the path kept on going lower and lower. They didn't drink, you know, which is great. And then they started drinking. They didn't believe in tattoos. All of a sudden they start getting tattoos. They didn't believe in cheating on their spouse. All of a sudden, they started cheating on their spouse. They didn't believe in divorce. They divorced their spouse. Then, I mean, you could just see it over a five-year period. Just down. They accepted everything of the world. Now, the next one is procrastinators. This one will get you before you can understand what you did. We're only here on a blip in the radar, right? We're only here for a little period of time. You know, 6,000 years is about 6,000 years has gone by, and we get 100. Well, okay, I'm being. We get 80 years. Us men, we get 78. Women, you get 90. We have to be cautious about being procrastinators. I just have one scripture, Luke 12, verse 35. Luke 12, verse 35. The faithful servant and the evil servant. Verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their masters, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants from the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have him sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. The point being, are you prepared or are you procrastinating? I believe that if you procrastinate and put things off and don't study, don't pray, don't meditate, and just go with the flow of life as it leads you, well, wouldn't you be easier pickings? We know Satan is a roaring devil looking who he can devour, so wouldn't you be easy prey if you procrastinate? In a sermon I heard 2 weeks ago from another congregation when I was up north, the minister said something. He's like, most everyone in the church is not... something of the effect is not being called or not fervent. They're just in the church. They're just there. And I was like, well, that's not true. I'm like, our congregation, we love God. We show up. We want to hear God's message. I don't know how that can be said. Some congregations have just had horrible things happen to them. And the congregation splits and splits again and splits again. And so they attribute it to people just showing up. Well, you can't be saved by just listening to someone. You have to study and focus on yourself. And then the last is just a faithless. Faithless. To the previous point the procrastinators, there's a study in the church, not in the church, a study of churchgoers. And the average church member, if you look at the study done year over year for the last 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, they have this research going back a long ways, but you can see, oh, I pray 7 days a week. That was in 1905. And then 1950, oh, I pray 5 days a week. Now it's down to, well, you know, I don't really know the God, therefore I don't know how to talk. So, you know, on Christmas, I'll go to church or, on, you know. The average faith, and we know this, the morals, I think it was best said, morals don't go up. They usually decay. People are not focused. They're not. There's no energy towards, you know, God much anymore. But the last one, to faithless, that's Matthew 17, and we'll pick it up in verse 14. Matthew 17. And we'll pick it up in verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that hour on. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall stay. You shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So, we have looked around us. We have grown up, some a lot longer than others, into the church. We know God. The world can't see the kingdom. I think it's said that, you know, the kingdom of this world that they know of is us floating around on a harp. Who wants that? So that I could stare down at the people having fun, rejoicing, while I'm in a harp. And not to mention, they can't do anything about it. Wouldn't that be torture? That wouldn't be fun. Because you see the tragedies of this world, right? And you're up there, and you can't do a single thing about it? Huh. Anyhow. Well, we want the prize. We do. We want it. We want full citizenship. It's hard to see things. I think in Hebrews it defines what faith is, but it's hard to desire what you cannot see or that is not proven. So the fear I have here is that the faith that you have, which we know, if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God the Father, that we will do well. But what if over time, as we have seen, your faith fades? That probably is my single greatest fear, because I've seen it in my family. I've seen it with those. There's a man in the church, devout man, went to Ambassador College, not a minister, but Great person, a really great person, him and his wife. Good people. And they lost their faith completely. And now their faith is in the world. And I don't know how it happened. Why did it happen? You know, the argument that we get into, you know, discussion, I should say, not argument, it's completely different. Our conversation is about things that this person was quoting me 5-10 years ago. Now it's flip, and it's completely out of their mind, completely. You could see that God's Spirit isn't working in them because what they're saying isn't from the Bible anymore. It's, no, the Spirit, it's all spiritual. There is no foot on being touched on earth. That's all spiritual. So the question is, if you don't have faith, will it be removed from you? Will God say, okay, you've chose, you know? But conclusion, the point today is that sin is around us, and as we walk on that thin path, that narrow path, sin is to the left, it's to the right. We know that when we were baptized, we turned straight around and went the other way, right? The old man's gone. And we have to be cautious because you get off the path, well, that's in the bushes. That's off sin here and sin there. There are ways to fall off the path that is narrow. We get so much encouragement from the Bible and talking to each other. This is the greatest point of my week, is right here, talking with you. I can't wait to get here and just talk and listen to you, because most of us don't really have the opportunity to talk on a daily basis. We talk with the world. Here, God is watching us right now. He's here. God is here with us. And this is my joy. This is how I rejoice. And you can see it getting drained and sucked down as the week goes on. And then, boom, Saturday comes. Friday night. They take that breath. And I don't even remember where I work on Friday nights. It's out of my head. I'm like, oh man, give me a glass of wine and I'll just talk. Getting message from God's members, you know, a little cheer. It's great. That's what I want. That's the rejoicing. Someday, all days will be like that. But the points I mentioned are the actions or state of mind that pull us off the course. Peter said the coarse gesturing is right next to fornication and idolatry. Coarse gesturing means your head is already filled with perversions. That is something that is very dangerous. You're already in the gutter. The result is not making it into the kingdom of God. You can't proceed into the kingdom if you don't cure the things. If you completely fall away. Look how many people have fallen off course. We all have examples of that. We see the pagan celebration. And I have written here Semana Santa, which that would be the Easter. They don't celebrate one day for Easter, but they celebrate for weeks. So we must overcome the human mind and draw closer to God.